I want to continue with our series today, Enemies. Enemies. We've been talking about that. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. And then we had the storm last week. And it's good to see everyone here that you made it through the storm. That's a whole nother, I could preach that right there. We made it through the storm. All right. Some of us made it through the storm physically, but sometimes it feels like we're going through some spiritual storms. I'm going to have to preach that right here. Maybe I just need to scrap my notes and go ahead and preach on that this morning. Because some of you all are going through some storms in your life right now, and you just feel like, you know, though the wind stopped outside, the wind is still blowing in your life. God's going to use that storm to bring you to another place. Sometimes these storms appear to be destructive, but sometimes God has a way of using those storms to uproot certain things in your life that need to be uprooted. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes we've got things stuck in our lives that we can't get out on our own. And we've been trying to get them out. And God has a way of bringing a storm. And we thought the storm came to kill us. But God only used the storm to uproot the things that we couldn't get. That, you know, like you see some trees that you could never have imagined that got, like when I was coming back from, I went and picked up my mom and in Myrtle Beach, and we went to Columbia and then Charlotte. When we were coming back, I saw like big oak trees, like the size of this whole area right here, the roots completely uprooted like they were nothing. Sometimes it feels like those are the issues in your life that you just can't get a hand on, that you just can't get a handle on. And God will allow a storm to come in your life to uproot the things that you could never uproot. And it feels like sometimes the storm came to kill you, but God really was only using the storm to uproot the stuff that you couldn't uproot. And when it's all said and done and you're still standing, now how could it be that God can uproot all the other stuff around you and you still be standing? So that's an indicator that God was using the storm to get some of the stuff out of your life that you could just never deal with on your own. I wanted to just encourage you with that today, all right? I'll preach that at a later date. Or maybe I just preach that right now, yeah. All right, so we're going to continue with this series, Enemies. And we've been learning about enemies and how they make us better. I kind of touch on that even this. And at some point in your life, you've had an enemy. And if you've had an enemy at some point in your life, would you raise your hand? Don't point at him now. Don't look at him. Don't look at him. No, just don't look at him. Just raise your hand. Don't look at him or point at him. All of us, we've experienced seasons of adversity or moments of opposition in our lives. And even as I say that, there are probably moments that are connected to certain names and certain faces that come to mind when you think about opposition or we think about an enemy. And some of you all right now, you're probably thinking about Patty right now. You're probably thinking about terrible Tom and how horrible he was, that boss you had, and how much havoc he wreaked in your life. You're probably thinking about your ex. Let us pray right now. You can remember how aggravating it is. You can think about the enemies in your life, but let me say this to you. It does not matter whether you love God or not. It does not matter how long you've been in God or not. You're going to face adversity in your life, and you're going to have enemies at times, especially if you've been called to do something significant in this life. You're going to have enemies in your life, and sometimes when you've had an encounter with an enemy, you can fall into the trap of believing that nothing good could ever come from dealing with an enemy. Nothing good could ever come from the bad relationship you had or the bad experience you had. And you can fall into that trap of believing that was just wasted time in my life. But can I encourage you today that God can use every enemy for his glory? So what we're going to do today is we're going to take a look at the life of David and how he dealt with having so many enemies. I know a lot of you are familiar with David, and you know he was scattered all throughout the Old Testament. But we're going to look at his life, and we're going to look at how he dealt with having all these enemies. So we're going to talk about today your response determines your reward. Your response determines your reward. Your response to your enemy will determine how you benefit from that experience. Let me say that to you again. Your response to your enemy will determine how you benefit from the experience. A lot of us know the stories of David and how he went through so much in his life and how he ended up being king and how he fought with Goliath and how he fought lions and tigers and bears. And he did all of that. He had all of these victories and he had all of these battles. And we know about those experiences. But I'm not sure if anyone else in the Old Testament had more enemies than David had. On one hand, David was highly loved by the people and highly respected. He was called a man after God's own heart. But on the other hand, he had to walk through some really difficult moments in his life. Everyone absolutely loved David, but then there were other moments in his life where he was on the run. Doesn't it feel like that sometimes in your life? It's like they love you one moment and they hate you the next moment. This is kind of how David's life was. And those of us who may not know, David was also an extremely gifted songwriter. And he wrote some of the most beautiful songs and some of the most complex songs that have ever been written, that people are still using the Psalms to this day to actually write songs. They're just putting different tunes to them. I just want to give you one that's familiar after David looks back over his life and he looks back over his experience and all of the things that he's been through. And he looks back over how good God has been to him through all these experiences. In Psalms 23, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." I like this verse. It says, "I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures." Think about that. Think about a green. Everyone close your eyes for a moment and get the image of a green pasture. It's got green grass and it's got flowers. And "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down." And lying down is an indicator of rest. Imagine you're resting in his pastures. It says he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul and he guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Listen to this. It says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley," he's looking back over his life now. He says, "I will fear no evil, for God, you are with me. Your rod and your staff," that has to do with correction and discipline and guidance, "they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." And this is an extremely graphic picture that he paints about how he's feeling and how good God has been to him through all of these horrible moments in his life. And David is not shying away from what he's been through. He's just saying, "I've experienced the beauty of learning to rest in what God has already done. So when these difficult times have emerged, I've had to come to a place of trust and faith that even in the hard times, that even in the difficult times, that God would be right there with me. That God would walk beside me, even in the darkest moments. He's never left me, even when I was at my lowest." There's one passage where he says, "Even if I make my bed in hell, God, you are there with me." So regardless of what I've been through in this life, God, you have always been with me. You have never left me. I was young and now I'm old, and yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. I've seen all of this. I've experienced all of this. But God, you've never failed us. You've never let us down, God. You've never let me go. Your love never fails, God. When I think back over my life and all the things that I've experienced, even in the moments where it felt like I was all alone, God was still there. Because if God wasn't there, I probably would have took my own life. There were moments when you look back over your life and you can think about the things that you've been through and think about how good God has been to you. And in verse 4, he turns 4 and 5 and he says, "God, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." I mean, in my thinking, I'm like, David, couldn't you have come up with some more poetic lyrics than "you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies"? I mean, I'm thinking something like, I'm just, you know what I'm saying? I'm thinking you could have come up with something better than you prepare a tape. I'm thinking we will rock you. I mean, you think about how big and how awesome God is and how he's been so good to David and how he's slayed his enemies, and all he could come up with is, you prepare a table before me. That's kind of like the hills are alive with the sound of music. Couldn't you have come up with something deeper than that, more profound than you prepare a table before me in the presence? But he reflects back over his life, and it's like, I know how to sum this all up. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. So get this, I understand it now, because it's this table that David was talking about wasn't just food. We've got to get that. It was the table of provision. You prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God, you have been my provider. You have been Jehovah Jireh. You have provided everything that I need all along the way. So this picture is meant to communicate that regardless of what my enemies try to do or say, what I'm going to do right in front of them. I'm going to provide for you right in the presence of your enemies. I'm the God who's more than enough. So he writes this song and he says, the best way I know how to communicate it is that my God prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He rewarded me right in front of the same people who tried to kill me. He rewarded me right in front of the same people who talked about me and said that I would never, ever make it. He knew what it was, David, to face enemies, and he knew how to respond to his enemies. Yes, your enemies want to kill you, but God says, I want to reward you. And David's response determined his reward. One of David's greatest enemies, and I'm going to deal with this in a second, one of his greatest enemies that he ever dealt with was Saul. I remember King Saul. If you go back into the story of Saul, Saul was his friend. I mean, they were friends. You know, David was a little shepherd boy. He was his friend before he ever became his enemy. So remember, you know the stories. David killed Goliath, and David killed the tigers and the bears, and he tended the sheep. He did all of these stuff. So they were homeboys, all right? And after that, Saul is like, hey, listen, David, you're the man. And he honors him, and he gives him a place in the palace. So they're friends. One moment, David was just the guy who believed that God could do anything, and Saul wanted to be around that kind of person. Have you ever been around that kind of person that they seem almost a little crazy, but they got that kind of faith where it's just like, you know what? I'm not even worried about it because God did it before and he'll do it again. See, don't discount those people, because God has given, just because you don't have the kind of faith that they have, don't discount them. Because when trouble comes, you know, I just need to hear your voice. That's how we are when trouble comes. That person that we thought was crazy, now when trouble comes, we're calling, I just did. Can you, were you in your prayer time? Can you remember my name? So don't ever discount that person that seems a little crazy and that like they've got this extreme kind of faith, because this is the kind of person that David was, and this is the kind of person that you want to come in contact with, because you can benefit from being close to this kind of person. And David had this favor in his life, and he had these blessings on his life. You remember I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. When you've got the favor of God on your life, he graces you with the ability to do things that you could not do in your own power, and you can't figure out, how can I accomplish some of the things that I remember I was on staff at a church one time, one of the guys kept saying to me, why is it that you're not running around like the rest of us? Like, but you get more results than all of us. Sometimes God has graced us, and he is, we call it in the church circles, we call it the anointing. I have to be able to translate that in, because, you know, people outside of your thing, what is the anointing? It's the ability that God gives us to get results. Something that God has put on your life, whether you're in this place. And see, in fact, your anointing is not even for these four walls. Some of y'all thought your anointing was to be up here behind this podium right here. But your anointing is to be out in the community every day. God has graced you with the ability. You ever seen some people that they can operate in ways? They can operate in the boardroom and they can operate in the hood. It's like they can walk in the boardroom of a Fortune 500 company and they could like communicate with those guys and then you could see them standing on the corner. What's up, dog? Some people are graced with the ability to be able to operate in all areas. Some of you all are graced to be where you are. And sometimes you get frustrated and you want to check out, but you get more results than anyone else in the place that you're in. It is because God's favor is on your life, and God's favor was on David's life. And the more God used David, the more Saul started to hate him. And that's what happens when God's favor is on your life and you're able to accomplish those things. People love cheering you on when everything is good for both you and them. And the moment they have a bad experience, they stop cheering you on and say, wait a minute, why you always got to be talking about what's good happening in your life? That's how people are. Can you imagine? They're all standing around and someone says, man, did y'all hear that song that David wrote the other day? And Saul is like, it wasn't that nice. It wasn't all of that. I mean, was it really that good? I mean, and it doesn't stop there. They're all coming back from battle and they're singing songs and they're like, man, did you guys see what David did out there in this battle? And it's so amazing by this point. And David has done so many good things and God's favor is on his life so tremendously that now the people, it's like, what's on David is falling on the people, and the people are writing songs now. And they're writing songs like, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. It's like now the people are writing songs because of what's on David's life. And Saul is like, wait a minute. What about me? I'm the king. He's not the king. I'm the king. Why y'all always singing about him? God's favor was on his life. So now Saul is like, you know what? I can't take this no more. We can't coexist in the same place. Saul was so jealous of David that it was eating him alive, coupled with the fact that he knew that David was the next king. I can't even imagine that. Do we give Saul a hard time? Because I'm like, you in the position. God's grace and favor is not on your life anymore. And the next king is already in the palace with you. I probably would have been upset too. Be like, hold up now. Wait a minute. But Saul is so jealous of him at this point that he's like, you know what? I can't deal with this anymore. I want him dead. I'm like, wait, does it have to be that deep? I could leave. I mean, I got to die. Does it have to be like this? But Saul is so jealous at this point that he's like, I'd just rather have him dead. I don't want to deal with this anymore. They're singing these songs, and I just want him out of here. 1 Samuel chapter 19 says, but an evil spirit from the Lord came on Saul as he was sitting in the house with his spear in his hand. And while David was playing the harp, Saul tried to pin him to the wall with the spear. But David eluded him as Saul drove the spear into the wall. Look at what it says. That night, David made good escape. So they're in the palace, and David is doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing, and yet he still has an enemy. And sometimes you can do everything right and still have enemies that want to kill you. And you spending all of your time trying to figure out, what did I do to deserve this? What did I do to you? Nothing. They just jealous and they want to kill you. And while you're trying to figure out what did you do wrong, you need to be running. You need to be getting out of the space. David didn't spend time trying to figure it out. The Bible says that night, David made good escape. He made good escape. Remember I told you that it's not always about how strong you are in a situation. Sometimes it's just how wise you are to get out of a situation. Sometimes you got to know when it's time for you to roll on. Y'all remember my favorite minor prophet? Remember he used to say you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. Sometimes you've just got to know when to get away from it all. David knew when it was time to leave, and sometimes you just got to realize that you're in a situation that you're not supposed to be in, and maybe at one point you were supposed to be there, but the season is over, and now it's time for you to move on. I'm not talking about every situation, because you have to have the ability to rest in God so that you can get a revelation as to where he wants you and where he doesn't want you at. Sometimes you just need to get out. David did that, but Saul was so crazy, and he was so jealous after he throws that spear that Saul chases David with his army. Now, he had to be completely consumed by the spirit of jealousy at this point, that he gets all these guys with their armor on, with their weapons. He gets horses, and he's chasing down this one guy. He's chasing down David just because he's jealous. So they're chasing him, and they set up this camp. And David's up somewhere, and he sees them, and he's watching what's happening. David and his mighty men, and if you don't know anything about David's mighty men, he had this guy with the name Abishai. These dudes could fight, all right? It was not a lot of them, but these are the dudes that you don't want to mess with, all right? Abishai was like the dude, he was Debo, Suge Knight, The Rock. He was all of that. And when he was the dude's like, oh, what, you want to do something? That was like, David, let's go roll up on them, right? You see them down there? Let's go roll up on them right now. They don't even know we up here. We just going to roll up on them, and in one fell swoop, I'm going to take all of them out with my one sword. This is the dude that is like, you want to roll with him? You want to be his friend? But you don't want to roll with him because you don't want to go to jail. Because this dude was going to get into a scuffle. I mean, this is the dude. I mean, he was a tough dude. I want to give you three things, because you'll see how David responded in the midst of this. Because at this point, they're just ready to go down. He's like, man, let's just go down and kill these dudes. They coming after us, all right? They're vulnerable right now. We can just go down and kill them. See, isn't that what you want to do to your enemies sometimes? It's like, you know what? They're vulnerable right now. I can destroy them right now. You get some information. What? Really? You could destroy them with the information that you got. But that's not necessarily what God wants you to do. I want to give you three ways not to respond. All right? Three ways. All right? Number one, realize that revenge will hurt you more than it helps you. I know that's hard. Revenge will hurt you more than it helps you. 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 7 says, so David and Abishai went to the army by night, and there was Saul lying asleep inside the camp with his spear stuck in the ground near his head. Abner and the soldiers were lying around. So all the soldiers now lying around him, they're vulnerable at this moment. Abishai said to David, here he is, today God has delivered your enemy into your hands. And isn't that how I feel? I found out this information. This must be God. Doesn't it feel like that? This has got to be. I mean, how did this ever turn out? This has got to be God that allowed me to get this. I know that you were a blessing because you called me with this information. This had to be God. Today, God has delivered your enemies into your hands. Now let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of the spear. I won't strike him twice. In other words, he's saying, listen, ain't gonna take me twice. I'm so bad that I'm gonna hit this dude once and it's gonna be over for him. Life is gonna end for him in the moment that I hit him. But David said to Abishai, don't destroy him. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? As surely, and I know some of you are like, wait a minute now. As surely as the Lord lives, he said, the Lord himself will strike him. And I know sometimes God ain't moving fast enough. It's like, God, you're not doing this fast enough. So I want to partner with you, God, to help you out in this situation. Because I believe that your yes and my yes together will be gloriously evident when I accomplish this great task of blotting out your enemies, God, from the earth. It says, or his time will come and he will die, or he will go into battle and perish. But the Lord forbid that I should lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. It says, now get the spear and water jug that are near his head and let's go. I mean, so it's clear that Abishai is like the goon of the group. But David's response is powerful. He's like, don't mess with the Lord's anointed. We're not going to do it. This is not the way that God is going to be glorified. Revenge will help hurt you more than it helps you. Number two, face your enemies with your friends. Face your enemies with your friends. Now, you have to consider that you need the right kind of friends, all right? When I say face your enemies with your friends, have the ability to discern that the friends that you have are the friends that God wants you to have, because you don't want a friend to be like, yeah, girl, go ahead and do that, you know. Go ahead and slap him. I know you're tired of this. Just go ahead and do it. Maybe you don't need those kind of friends. Maybe you need a friend that has, you know, the Bible says that in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. In the multitude of godly counsel, there is safety. You've got to have the ability to discern whether you have a friend that is rooted in God. If you don't have one, you need to get one. You need to search for one, all right? The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 19, it says, Saul told his son, and I'm finished, you guys. Saul told his son Jonathan, all the attendants to kill David. But Jonathan had taken a great liking to David and warned him. My father Saul is looking for a chance to kill you. Now, this is a good friend because he sees danger coming. He's like, listen, be on your guard tomorrow morning. Go into hiding and stay there. I will go out and stand with my father in the field where you are, and I'll speak to him about you and will tell you what I find out. So you need these kind of friends in your life that have your back for real, are not going to send you right into the lion's den to your death. And it's just something about having someone when you're going through rough times, you're having someone that you know that you can depend on. You were not meant to live in isolation. Know what kind of people you need to have in your life. And I always say this, that the greatest two needs that we have are to have relationship with God and relationship with one another. I'll say that a million times over again, but you need to have healthy relationships with the right people in your life. And this is the last one, and I'm finished. Number three, allow God to use your enemies to build you up rather than tear you down. Allow God to use your enemies to build you up rather than tear you down. Don't get stuck at what happened to you. Don't get stuck at what they said about you. And it's easy for us to be there. I've been there at moments in my life where I became preoccupied at what happened or got stuck for a season because of what someone said or because of what an enemy did. I got stuck for a season. And sometimes God allows us to go through those moments so that it can wax us strong. And there are some of us that God allows to go through those moments so that you won't have to go through. So that I can tell you, don't get stuck, because I've been stuck before. I've been stuck at one of those moments where I was preoccupied at what my enemies were saying, not realizing that God had my back all along. Psalms 57, I love this. It says, be good to me, O God, and now I've run to you for dear life. I'm hiding out under your wings and till the hurricane blows over. I call out to God, the God who holds me together. He sends orders from heaven and saves me. He humiliates those who kick me around. God delivers generous love, and he makes good on his word. I find myself in a pride of lions who are wild for a taste of human flesh. Their teeth are lances and arrows. Their tongues are sharp daggers. Soar high in the skies, O God. Cover the whole earth with your glory. They booby trapped my path. I thought I was dead and done for. They dug a man trap to catch me and fell in headlong themselves. I'm ready, God, so ready, ready from head to toe, ready to sing and ready to raise a tune. Wake up, soul. Wake up, harp. Wake up, lute. Wake up, you sleepyhead son. I'm thanking you, God, out loud in the street, singing your praises in town and country. The deeper your love, the higher it goes. Every cloud is a flag to your faithfulness. Soar high in the skies, O God. Cover the earth with your glory. God, we love you today. And Father, many of us in this room and in this experience, we've had enemies, we've had adversity. We've had moments in our lives where it just feels like we are overwhelmed with what the enemy is trying to do to us. But God, you've always been faithful. There isn't a time that we could look back over our lives and see that you've let us down. But God, you've always been God. You've always made a way where there seemed to be no way. You always opened doors that we couldn't see. God, you've always covered us, even in the times that we didn't have the strength to cover ourselves. God, you've always been there and you've always given us direction and guidance, even in moments where we didn't have sense enough to come in out of the rain. So, Father, we just want to thank you this morning, because if it had not been for you by our side, God, we wouldn't be here today. What words could ever be good enough, God, to tell you how good you are? There are no human words, no Greek, no Hebrew, no nothing, no Spanish, nothing, no word, no explanation that could express the enormity of your greatness, God. Thank you for being a deliverer and a healer. Thank you for being a provider, God. Thank you for being there when no one else was. Thank you for covering us, God. What a king you are. What a savior you are, God. God, we love you. God, we are grateful. Come on, just sit there with your eyes closed for a moment. Come on, just let his presence wash over you.
never fail me.